The New Testament reading is taken from the book of Galatians, chapter 5, reading from verse 16, page 1155 in your Bibles. Galatians chapter 5. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not know what you want. Do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature, its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other.
Good morning. It's good to be here. It's good to have this opportunity and privilege to preach to you all and to speak from God's Word. I'm actually going to pray again because it helps me with my nerves, so please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity that I get to have now. I pray, Lord, that you will be with me, that you'll settle me. And I pray, Lord, for those here, that they would hear your word and that they would leave changed today because of it. We thank you for your Lord Jesus, who makes this possible. In his name we pray. Amen. I'm sure you all agree with me that doing life is better when you do it with those you love and you care. Some of you guys have been traveling through life now with some friends of yours close to you, and you've grown this sense of trust, you've produced this sense of trust and love and care throughout this time, this journey in your life. For those of you who are married here, you've produced this sense of oneness, of likeness with your spouse over those decades of marriage. Now, maybe some of you don't necessarily like to be known as like your husband or like your wife. But the decades of marriage produces this likeness between the two that you can't help but admit that's there. This sense of oneness that kind of gets produced when you two have been married for so long. You think the same, you act the same, you begin to talk in the same manner. You can do all the cute things like finish each other's sentences. You can, wives, you know your husband's well and what his favorite outfit is, or at least in your opinion, what should be his favorite outfit. Husbands, you know when your wife likes flowers, when to sit down and have a serious talk, and when to sit down and to let her talk and not say a word at all. Marriage produces this sense of oneness, this sense of likeness over decades. And just like walking through life with your husband or with your wife can produce this sense of oneness, so too is the nature of the Christian life, as we have been given the Holy Spirit, who intends for us to produce the intended life that God created us to live. We're in a series called His Story, Our Story. We have been going through the overarching story of the Bible, the unfolding story of God's rescue plan for us to bring us back in relationship with Him. It was always God's intended plan for us to live in perfect harmony since the garden with Adam. But we destroyed that potential. We destroyed that harmony. And so the Bible is the unfolding story of God's rescue plan to bring us back in relationship with Him. And we see through the Scriptures, as through Jesus' work on the cross for us, that happens. And he has provided for us new life to live by the power of the Spirit. And it's the Spirit who produces the kind of life that we were always meant to live in the garden when Adam was first created. The goal of the Spirit producing life is to look more like Jesus. And this morning, there are two things I want to say from Galatians 5 that will show us how the Spirit works in us to produce the kind of life that we were always meant to live. The life that Jesus died to give you and the life that God calls you to live today. Number one, the Spirit produces conflict. So I'm going to read from verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Notice the active command here in verse 16. The Spirit producing life is one that walks with the Spirit. You must choose to walk with the Spirit if you want to live a life that's free from satisfying your sinful desires. I want you to imagine a father and a son. They're going on a bushwalk. The father's done this track 1,000 times before, but for the son, this is his first time. And so he stays close to his father on the walk because he knows if he doesn't stay close, he could get lost. He could get injured. So if he goes on ahead, if he lags behind, these things could happen. And so he stays close to his father because he knows if he walks with his father, if he stays with him, he will be safe. In the same way, if we stay close to the Spirit, walking with him and listening to his direction, we will not let our sinful desires get the better of us. But walking with the Spirit is more than just a simple walk. Verse 17 reads, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. For those who walk by the Spirit produces an inner conflict between you and your sinful desires and him, that is the Spirit. Let me explain. Imagine if the boy, while walking with his dad in the bush, catches something with his eye. He sees an animal or an insect that intrigues him, and he's full of desire to go ahead and to look at it or to touch the animal. Now, at this moment, do you think the boy is at all in conflict with himself and his desires? No, of course not. He is doing what his desire leads him to do. But the father yells out to him, stop! Don't go there! Don't touch that! Don't go near that! Can you see how a conflict is beginning to happen between the father and the son? As the father sees a danger that the son does not see. The son might see a friendly snake, but the father sees a brown snake. The son might see a nice looking spider, but the father sees a funnel web spider. To give you another example, you might know the conflict yourself that ensues between a child and their parents. The parent sees their child doing something that's not good and not beneficial, not helpful for them. And so the parent tells the child, don't do that, don't go there, why would you do that? Now the problem is with children, especially teenage children, I haven't been one, they don't see that. They don't see the danger their parent sees. And so generally they just think that their parent is inhibiting on their own freedom and they fight back. And their parents, they fight back against their children. But you know if you're a parent, you don't desire to harm your child. You don't desire to destroy his or her freedom. Your desire is to care and protect them, even if it means being in conflict with them, even if it means being unpopular with them. You will do what needs to be done to ensure their protection and care. In the same way, our conflict is not with sin itself, but with the Spirit. Like the father in the story, the Spirit says, don't do that, don't go there. Like parents, the Spirit's conflict with us is not to harm us, but to lead us to becoming more and more like Jesus. That's why at the end of verse 17 it says, they are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. As you walk with the Spirit will produce inner conflict with you and himself because the Spirit wants you to become more like Jesus. It's a beneficial conflict. It's a conflict to help you. And like the father in the story, the Spirit will not stand idly by and let you walk into sin. The Spirit will pull you up and make it hard for you to not just do whatever you want. That you would live the life that God intended for you to live since creation. That you would live the life that God promised you through his son Jesus to live. This conflict is not bad, but a good conflict. The Spirit has this conflict with us to mold us and to shape us to look more like Jesus. So we shouldn't be surprised if we struggle with this conflict daily. Too often Christians think that only the wayward Christians, the uncommitted Christians, struggle with sin, as if the mature Christians shouldn't struggle at all. But that thinking is rubbish. Paul doesn't make any exception for those who are mature in faith over those who are not at all. No, all people who are walking by the Spirit produce this conflict with the Spirit as it fights for them to live their new life. The Spirit's aim not to judge you, but to lead you. The question is, are you experiencing this conflict? Does the Spirit battle for your obedience? Because if you have the Spirit, you will walk by the Spirit. And if you walk by the Spirit, that will produce conflict in your life against the flesh. Those who don't follow Christ do whatever they want. And is that not a reflection of our world? I will do what makes me feel good. I don't care what you think or you think or you think. I will do what I want. But the Christian does what the Spirit wants, even when it's hard. And this will produce conflict. But the more we choose to walk by the Spirit, the more the Spirit will win us over in that conflict. It will help us to want to live the right way, to live the way the Spirit wants us to live. Which leads to my next point. When the Spirit has won us, the Spirit will produce fruit. So I'm going to read from verse 18 and then I'll skip down to verse 22. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. As you walk by the Spirit, living in step with what he wants, it will produce Christ-like character in you. Paul calls it the fruit of the Spirit. Now, Christians will produce this fruit because they are influenced and directed by the Spirit and choose to do what the Spirit wants. Notice the passive command here in verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, as opposed to the active command, walk by the Spirit, in verse 16. The Spirit-producing life is a mixture of choosing to walk by the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. Just as the Son, who is walking with his Father on the bush track, is walking with him, he is also being led by his Father, as his Father is guiding him along the bush track, and the Son is trusting in his guidance. You too must trust the Spirit's guidance and leading as you walk with him, for what it wants for you is to become more and more like Jesus, in likeness with him. And as you are walking with the Spirit and being led by the Spirit, this will produce fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now notice again how with conflict, Paul doesn't say some have got love, some have got joy, some have got self-control. No. Nowhere does Paul say that. But those who have the Spirit, that is all who believe, will produce the fruit of the Spirit. Not some of it, not almost all of it, but all the fruit. Your life as you walk and are led by the Spirit will produce fruit, as opposed to what the sinful life produces, the life that is led by the desires of the flesh. As we read from verse 19, the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God.
These works of the flesh are not compatible. They are not compatible with the Spirit-led life. As in verse 17, they are contrary to what the Spirit desires and are in conflict with the Spirit, which is why Paul says in verse 21, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul is serious here. If you live according to your sinful desires, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, surely Paul doesn't mean that we are justified by our works, or in this case, justified by the spiritual production of fruit. I mean, Paul champions justified by faith alone. So what is he saying here? What's going on? Well, simply put, just as the Christian life starts with the Holy Spirit, it can only continue by the power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the presence of the Holy Spirit is evident in the fruit it produces. It's not optional. The Christian will produce fruit, not for the sake of salvation, but for the sake of continuing in the Christian life, the new life that Christ has called you to live, that Christ died to give you. As verse 25 says, since we live by the Spirit, that is salvation, let us keep in step with the Spirit, that is continuation. And so if your life looks more like the works of the flesh than the fruit of the Spirit, then something is wrong. Paul doesn't list the two different works and fruits that you might be able to tick the box and say, I did that, I did that, I did that, and I didn't do that, I didn't do that, I didn't do that. They're there to help you evaluate whether or not you're walking by the Spirit. The question, am I producing the fruit of the Spirit, can be answered by the question, am I walking by the Spirit? The goal of the Spirit is to restore and produce what we had with God in the garden, to regain the potential of Adam and have it completed in Christ Jesus. We may not be there yet, at the very end, where we don't fight sin anymore and where we're perfect, but we're on our way as we're called by Christ to live the new life that He wants us to live. And the longer you walk and are led by the Spirit, the more abundant the fruit will be. A lot of you have been traveling for a very long time with the Spirit. So let me ask you, are you producing more love than you were 10 years ago? Are you producing more joy than you were 10 years ago? Are you producing more peace, more patience, more kindness, more goodness, more faithfulness, more self-control than you were 10 years ago? Now, I do not wish to discourage you if you feel like you haven't produced any fruit, but I want to invite you now to participate in the new life that Christ has for you, that Christ paid for you on the cross, the life that you can now live by the Spirit's power in the Spirit-producing life. I desire for you all to know the joy of walking with the Spirit in the Spirit-producing life, the life that you were created to live. I ask out of humility and deep respect for this congregation that you would consider, as I do now, whether or not you are walking by the Spirit by judging the production of fruit in your life and asking for repentance where you have failed. For in Jesus, our sin is paid. And it is in Him, as Galatians 5 verse 5 reads, we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. Your new life in Jesus, which is the Spirit-producing life, begins now as you walk by the Spirit, as you live by the Spirit. Will you walk by the Spirit? Will you produce the life that Christ paid to give and that the Spirit empowers you to?